Blows that wound scour away evil, and beatings purge the innermost being. I like to use this scripture when I am driving in my car and somebody cuts me off and I really want to purge some inmost beings. I want to get a bumper sticker that has this on there and I want to put it on my car. I learned this verse when I was a teenager, and honestly, for me, it was a lot of fun growing up, and I used it poorly a lot for my own enjoyment. But as I've gotten older, I've realized the truth of this. There really is no growth without pain. If you're really going to learn something, if it really plants itself in your heart, ideally, you know, we'd all just sit down, read a book, and we'd get it all. But most of life's huge questions, most of the things that really are important, have to come at a price. Have to come at a price of realization or that sort of thing. And it isn't always fun. But it's remarkably, it sometimes is very necessary. Let's pray. Father, as always, I thank you for this opportunity to be here, and Lord, I also ask that you make sure I bring across the message that you want brought across this morning. Please help me. In Yeshua's name, amen. There are certain topics that I shy away from in preaching in front of any congregation, not just this one. And it's not because I'm afraid of scriptural topics. It's honestly because I'm afraid I won't communicate it right. I never want to turn anybody off from understanding something of the Lord. And I never want to communicate something poorly. And this is one of those topics. I think it's important, but it is something that I have not wanted to do. And so in my discussion with the Lord on what he wanted me to speak this weekend, I didn't have a choice. So here we go. Burdens, right? We all have them. They're all things, every one of us in this room has something that they're carrying that they don't want to carry. And really, that's what it is. A burden is something that you don't want, right? Like carrying a birthday cake, that's not a burden to me because I will eat that cake, all of the cake. And they're varied loads, right? There are different levels of burdens. You know, poor Keith breaking ribs. I have a broken toe. I will take a broken toe 10 times out of 10 over broken ribs. My load is not his load. Sometimes our burdens are life-altering, incredibly life-altering things that happen to us. And even so, what may be soul-crushing and life-ending for you may not be for someone else. So when we hear someone say what their burdens are, don't hear it from your viewpoint. Hear it from theirs. Because you don't know what that burden means to them. They can try to explain it, right? And as we do, we share burdens with one another. But try to hear it from their viewpoint, right? Not just what it is, but how it's affecting them. And sometimes burdens are of varied duration, right? School was always a burden for me, more so college than otherwise. For those of you that don't know, I do have a college degree, but I was asked to leave UWM at one point in my early college career. I had spent my fourth semester as a sophomore, and I had gotten really bad grades, and I went to see my advisor for the first time in 3 years, and I said, I was thinking of taking some time off, and they said, oh, good, we were going to ask you to not come back. It was an attention deficit, you know. I just didn't want to be there. I wasn't mature enough to handle it, so I went back. But it was a burden, and it was an even different burden when I went back as an adult, right? Because you have adult things to do. So it was a different type of burden. I was ready to learn, but life was full of stuff. Sometimes our burdens are permanent. They just are what they are. My grandfather, unfortunate man that he was. I'm sorry. It's family, right? I'm about to tell you a tragic story, and I just laughed about it because it was fun in our family. We made jokes about it. It happened. My grandfather lost his leg when he was 16 years old. So that would have been 1919 when he lost his leg. And he was working in a factory, and a wire factory, and the wire came off the line, wrapped around his leg, and ripped it off. And I don't know if you know this, but surgical techniques were not ideal in 1919. And so he had multiple complications with his stump, and it caused him a great deal of pain. And then when he was in his, again, it's funny to me, when he was in his 20s, he lost these two fingers and a thumb on a lathe. And he was, at the time, he was a professional musician. He was a saxophone player. And you need all these, you need these five. You could probably get along with two on this end, but you need all five on this hand to, in order to do it. And he was already missing a leg. And he had an artificial limb, and but it was tough for him to get around. Yet he and no one would hire him, right? Because you're talking about the 1920s and the 1930s. Just to put this in context, the woman that my grandfather loved originally was not my grandmother. It was someone else. But her dad refused to let his daughter marry my grandfather because, again, remember how long ago this was. He was afraid that if they had children, they would be born without legs because he didn't have one, right? And this really was, I mean, so growing up, my grandfather used to hold his socks up with tacks on his artificial limb. It was really made out of wood. He had a wooden leg. And he would come to visit, and I would tell my friends, I'll bet you a nickel that my grandfather holds his socks up with tacks. And so I would come in, they'd go, no, he doesn't. And then I would come in and I would say, Pop, show me your sock. And he knew exactly what I was doing, and he was more than happy to participate. And he raised his pant leg just a little bit, and kids would run screaming into the street. It was awesome. And one more quick story just to share the genetic material that I have inside of me. So give me a little leeway this morning. At my grandfather's funeral, I found out that my cousin, who was like too old to do this, but it was like, you know, the 60s, it was knee socks. And so she had a problem with her knee sock. And so it kept falling down. So she tried to hold it up with tacks like Papa, but it hurt. So she thought she did it wrong. So she tried again. Anyway. But in my grandfather's case, his burden was permanent. He wanted to live to the year 2000. So February of 2000, he died. He was just that kind of guy. But from the moment that he lost his leg till he passed, that stump killed him every day. Every day. And yet he worked every day for his family. Worked as a longshoreman. Worked whatever job he could find, because a lot of people wouldn't hire him because he was handicapped. He tried to enlist in the army 4 or 5 times during World War II, but they wouldn't take him. You know, he swore he could do it. He could do a desk job. And I will tell you, he could do things with these two fingers. Like he could pick up a needle off of a table with these two fingers. I can't pick up a needle off the table with these five fingers. But that was his life. And there are varied causes, right, to the burdens that we bear. In my grandfather's case, the two fingers and a thumb was self-inflicted. It was his mistake. It was a costly mistake, but it was his mistake. You know, and sometimes we get ourselves in financial situations that become a huge burden because of the decisions that we make. Not always, it's not always our fault, but often, you know, we make poor decisions, or we make bad decisions in our marriages, or we make bad decisions at work, and we have to live with those decisions, and those things become burdens. Sometimes those burdens are inflicted upon us, right? So in my grandfather's case, again, the wiring accident had nothing to do with him. Wrong place, wrong time, wire. And he lost his leg. Sometimes, you know, wrong place, wrong time. Sometimes other people intentionally do things to us. Hopefully not other believers. But other people do things, and you have to live with the burden of what that has caused. Whether it's a loss of a relationship. Sometimes you don't know. I mean, the human body is incredibly fascinating. I've spent my entire career working as a in one form or another in life insurance underwriting. And so basically what that means is I review people's medical records and I decide when they're going to die. I used to tell people that I decide when people are going to die, but people get really afraid of that. So I've got to learn and study a lot of what goes wrong with the human body. I don't get to learn what goes right with the human body. So if you have a medical condition, don't ask me. I'm going to tell you the worst case scenario because that's all I know. But I'm fascinated by it. And sometimes in our bodies, things just go wrong. Wildly, wildly wrong. And we don't know why. And sometimes it's just life. Right? My dad passed away a couple years ago. Hit me like a ton of bricks. He was 86. It shouldn't have been a surprise. He had been sick for a while, you know, and you get in those places and you want the world to stop, right? When you first get like these really big burdens, you're in the moment and you really think that the world should stop. Like, do you know what just happened? But it doesn't. And it just keeps going. And when you're in that second, when you're in that moment, it's just absolutely amazing that the world, for crying out loud, doesn't stop for you. Do you have any idea what just happened to me? No, they don't. And in that moment, they might care, might not. So what do we do with their burdens? First of all, we learn how to use the clicker. Yay. Says, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get satisfaction of a job well done. And you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. We share our burdens. And by the way, I do love the fact that Paul was kind enough to say, you are not that important. Maybe that's the scripture I should put on my car. That may be my new favorite one, Jim. We share our burdens with one another. And sometimes it's just so we can get them out of our heads and out of our hearts and out into the, you know, out into the air to tell to someone else. We don't expect them to help, and maybe they can't help, right? Maybe it's just one of those burdens that you have to take, but we share them. But we are also responsible as believers to help with what we can. You know, if someone is having a particularly tough time with a thing that you can help with, it's our responsibility to help. And if there's something that you can fix or help them fix, whether it's with their life, with themselves, right? That's what we're a family. We're not just a bunch of people that gather on a Saturday and hang out. We're a community, and that comes with responsibilities. And here's the thing. It is our responsibility to help. But I really do want to point out, it's also your responsibility to share. And I think I'm probably talking mainly to the guys. Like, guys generally don't talk about our problems with one another unless we want help. Like, we don't talk about our days. We don't talk about things that go on. Like, when we're with other guy friends, right? We talk a lot. Mostly it's insulting each other, talking about, you know, how, I don't know, when I was growing up, how badly you swing a baseball bat or whatever. But we're only going to talk about serious things when we absolutely need help with something, whether it's an answer or decision, whatever. And guys, we don't have to wait till a problem festers, right? We could share it with our brothers and sisters. We can do that. In Hebrews 5, 1 to 10, it said, so also Messiah did not glorify himself to be made Kohen Gadol. Rather, it was God who said to him, you are my son. Today I have become your father. And he says in a different passage, you are a Kohen forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his life on earth, Yeshua offered up both prayers and pleas with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Though he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God Kohen Gadol, according to the order of Melchizedek. We need to learn from our troubles, from our burdens, whatever lesson that may be. And I wish for me, I wish there were other ways for me to learn. But I feel like I'm a toddler running with scissors most of my life. Until I fall and poke an eye out, I'm probably not going to get it. That's just me. Hopefully you guys are better. Hopefully we learn from the burdens that other people place on us. And whether that's at work or relationships, whatever, that we learn how to navigate those, right? The first time your boss says, I have an opportunity for you. And that becomes a burden. So by time she or he comes back with, hey, I've got an opportunity for you, you've learned to zig and zag a little bit. So you have a response. And so they can, you know, give that opportunity to Susie instead of you. But we do learn from the relationships that we have, right? And we've all had healthy relationships, at least I hope we have. But we've also had those unhealthy relationships. And we learn by experience those what we need to do. And those are things, right, that we can seek help with. And hopefully, we learn from the burdens that other people have. I'm the youngest of four. I have three older siblings, older brother, two older sisters. They are 8, 7, and 6 years older than me, respectively. They had a different childhood than I did because I'm smarter than they are. I learned everything that they did wrong, and I never got caught. Probably not the best story to use in a sermon. But one of the advantages of being in a community of believers is to hear the stories that we have, right? Of the things that people have gone through, to see what God has done in their lives and what they have learned so that we can learn those lessons before we have to take on those burdens in order for the Holy Spirit to teach them. All of you have experienced things that I have never seen or possibly have never even thought about possibly happening. So me learning through your burdens brings an incredible blessing to me. And you sharing what you've learned through your burdens brings an incredible blessing to this congregation. In 2 Corinthians 12, it says, for if I should want to boast, I would not be foolish, for I will speak the truth. But if I refrain so that no one may think more of me than what he sees in me or hears from me, even in the extraordinary quality of the revelations, so that I would not exalt myself, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to torment me, so I would not exalt myself. I pleaded with the Lord 3 times about this, that it might leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses, so that the power of Messiah may dwell in me. For Messiah's sake, then I will delight in weakness, in weaknesses, in insults, in distresses, in persecutions, in calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. My mom has this saying, and if you've heard any, sometimes parents have great sayings. My mom, not so much. Like Jerry Sussler, one of my favorite sayings,
Rich or poor, it's good to have money. I love that one. I love that one. I use that one a lot. But my mom always says, whenever you go to her with a problem, she goes, well, you know, the sun's going to come up tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I'm going to hit you with a 2x4.
It doesn't make you feel better in the moment, but it's true.
And sometimes the burdens that we carry, the things that have happened to us, the things that we do, sometimes there's nothing you can do but live with it. And I don't know what Paul's thorn was. I don't know. But it was serious enough where he was comfortable that he knew what it was for. Like, he knew exactly what it was for. He'd have a head the size of Texas, but no, he has a thorn. It keeps him humble. But it didn't stop him from loving and obeying God, did it? And sometimes that's what it's all about. The sun's going to come up tomorrow. God is still God. And you look at some of the greatest examples in the Bible to me are, you know, Moses. He killed an Egyptian. And how long did he live in fear because of that? He had the burden of leadership. I think it was pretty clear that he didn't always want to do it, but he did it. Because God was still God, and he was being faithful to God. I don't know about you, but I think a lot of us have our own personal favorite people in Scripture. Joseph is my guy. What an amazing life, right? And I've heard messages about Joseph, you know, where they talk about when he's young and he gets the coat of many colors and people are like, oh, he was arrogant. Nowhere in Scripture does it say he was arrogant. He shared his dreams and his brothers didn't like what they meant. It's not in Joseph. He just had the dream, right? It's not my fault your sheaves are going to bow down to mine. Hey, whatever, man. But every step, everything that he went through, he did what he was supposed to do. He did right in the eyes of God. Sold into slavery, became the best slave he could. Sent to jail for something he didn't do, became the best jailer's helper ever. To the point of the king of all the land, the most important person at that time in the land, came to him for help. And I don't know about you, but you know, there was the cupbearer and the baker when he was in prison, and they came to them with their dreams. And he said, cupbearer, don't you worry about it. You're gonna be restored back to your spot with Pharaoh. Just remember me. And then the poor baker said, sorry, dude, you're gonna go. You're gonna die. Well, when Joseph came back and he was made second in command, I don't know what you would have done. My first job would have been to kill the cupbearer, because he let me rot in prison for a number of years before he remembered me to Pharaoh. But he didn't do that, because he did right in the eyes of God. And sometimes that's all we can do. There are things that we're going to experience. There are things that we are going to do and happen to us, and mistakes that we're going to make and things that we cause to ourselves. And it's going to be awful. But God is still God. Jesus promised that we could cast our cares on him and he would give us rest. And he also promised that what we do for him, with him, in our life, wasn't going to be burdensome. It's freedom. The world says you are weak for coming here. But I want you to know that the Lord says you are strong for being here. For everything that you've experienced, regardless of your burdens, regardless of what you've been through, you are here today singing his praises with voices of joy. No matter what you're going through today, know that you are strong through Yeshua. And the merest fact that you are here, and I heard you sing today,
And your voice has brought me joy. I can only imagine what it did for the Lord. Know that you are strong. And know that whatever burden you are going through, whatever you are carrying, he's right beside you to help you. The sun will come up tomorrow, and God is still God.
Thanks. I was taking notes. I got a lot of burdens. Anybody else feel like that? I'll pray for that here in a minute. It was nice to hear from him. If you want to get to know him, just say hi after service. He promised to buy anything that you want in Onig today. So if there's something in Onig you had your eye on, you walk up and say, you know what, I really want that cup of coffee there, Mike. Onig's free, by the way, if you're a visitor. You should know that. But it's nice we could be together. It's nice to hear from him representing Anchor Falls. And we serve a good God. So please stand up if you would. Let's pray. Lord God, you know our aches and our burdens and our challenges and the issues that are going on in life. You alone know them all well. You know what they mean to us. You alone know what they mean to us. It's with great confidence that we come to you and we say, Lord, now you know what these burdens are, and you are also our wonderful counselor. So, Lord, counsel us. Show us what to do. Show us how to navigate, whether it's a burden that we got unfairly or a burden that we got fairly. Show us how to navigate to do what we need to do to move our life forward into greater faith and greater expectation with you. Thank you for your faithfulness to us, because, Lord, always you're faithful. Thank you for this time. Please bless Mike for sharing his time with us. We're blessed to hear what he had to say. B'Shem Yeshua. Amen. Okay, I'm going to tell you before I go into the benediction here. I've been on the fence with this for a while. My wife knows it. Just my wife knows it. There's a lot of reasons why I don't chant the benediction. And if you want to know what they are, I'm not going to tell you. But I'm going to do it today. Now, if I'm terrible, don't tell me. I don't want to know if you think I'm terrible. I'm kidding. I'm doing this unto the Lord. And again, there's a lot of reasons why. Amen. Yevarechach Adonai vo'yishmerecha. Yer Adonai panav aliecha vihunecha. You say, I don't know, panav alecha, v'yaseim lacha, shalom. Now you see why? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Be blessed. Prayers are here with lanyards. Oneg down the hall. Introduce yourself to Mike. Have a great day.